In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that this morning, on behalf of the session of this church, I want to wish all mothers a very happy Mother's Day. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless all mothers, strengthen all mothers, increase the faith of all mothers here this morning. May the Lord grant you much joy and peace from on high. Now, this being Mother's Day, I'll speak about a mother's reward this morning. And my topic is a mother named Jochebed. Now, I will focus on this little-known woman by the name of Jochebed. But she had a very famous son. The son was none other than the great Moses. Now, they say that behind the success of every man, I said this before, and I quote what people say, that they say that behind the success of every man is a woman. And that generally speaking, they would be referring to the wife of that man. But for some men, the success behind those men is really the mother, not the wife, but the mother. And so in the sports world, very often when the great achievers gain some success, they will publicly acknowledge the kind of effort and encouragement mother give to ensure that this or to develop this champion so that he finally becomes a champion. So in the sports world, very often when a champion becomes a champion, he will give a lot of credit to mother, and he will say publicly, make this public acknowledgement, "Thank you, mother, for all your encouragement and for all your sacrifice." Yes, for who was it? Who was it who was bringing this little boy to the swimming pool to train so that he would become a great swimmer? And mother would be the one, of course. And she would be bringing the child to the swimming pool at very, very unearthly hours in the morning. And who was it who made sure that the child would train and that the child would eat well, sleep well, rest well, study well? Of course, it was mother. And so many a time you find that this public acknowledgement is given to mother for the kind of effort that she puts in to build the champion athlete to become that champion. Now this morning, I want to talk about this woman, Jochebed, a little-known woman who was the mother of Moses. Now, Moses was born to this woman, Jochebed, at a very, very troublous time during the history, in the history of the children of Israel. The children of Israel had been in the land of Egypt for something like 400 years now. And they had become slaves. And because they were growing in numbers, the Egyptians got scared. They perceived that these Israelites were going to become, were becoming a threat to them militarily, and in terms of security, they were a threat. And so, they wanted to get rid of the children of Israel. And Pharaoh said this, I quote him from Exodus chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. And he said unto his people, Exodus 1, 9 to 10, and he said unto his people, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also our enemies and fight against us. And so get them out of the land. Get rid of them." So Pharaoh decreed infanticide against the children of Israel. Every newborn male child born into the home of the Israelites would have to be killed at birth. Yes, they would have to be thrown into the river Nile. And it was in this situation that Moses was born to this woman, Jochebed. Now, I'd like us to look at this Jochebed this morning, this woman, Jochebed, and see her as a mother of faith, number one. Number two, see her as a mother who was faithful to the one true living God. And number three, see her as a mother rewarded for her faith and for her faithfulness. Now, first of all, a mother of faith. What was Jochebed to do under this kind of a murderous decree that was issued by Pharaoh? To obey Pharaoh and by allowing her son to be thrown into the river now was surely not right. It was surely wrong because she would then be passively supporting this cruel decree that was issued by Pharaoh. Now let's read what the word of God says in regards to Jochebed and her husband Amram. I'd like us to look at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23, but please keep your finger at Exodus chapter 2, but let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23. Hebrews 11 verse 23. I read for you. Hebrews 11 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, Amram and Jochebed, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. My dear friends, they were not afraid of the king's commandments. They had faith in the one true living God. And so they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And remember, they were slaves. They had no right at all in the land of Egypt, no right as citizens of Egypt. But even if they had right, how dare would they be to try to oppose Pharaoh? How dare would they to disobey the decree of Pharaoh, even if they had rights? But friends, they were slaves. And yet they had the courage to disobey Pharaoh and hid the baby for 3 months until they could no longer hide the baby. Not because they were fearful of hiding the baby. They were not afraid. It was just that the baby was going to become so big and soon he would be discovered. And if he was discovered, then he would be killed. And so what did Jochebed do? I'd like us to turn back to Exodus chapter 2 and verse 3. The mother of Moses, see what she did. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 3. And when Jochebed could not longer hide Moses, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flax by the river's brink. What she did was she waterproofed a basket. Right, the ark was probably a basket, and put baby Moses into this basket and then lowered this basket to float on the river Nile. Now the word of God does not tell us exactly how she felt, but I suppose we can imagine how she felt. I think she must have been heartbroken, don't you think so? She must have been heartbroken. Now it was by faith that she kept this baby for 3 months. Would she not now be acting by faith by putting that baby in the basket and lowering the basket onto the river Nile? Was it a case of a losing faith? No, my dear friends, I don't believe that she lost faith. No, she still continued to have faith in the one true living God. Otherwise, her faith of keeping the baby for 3 months would not have been highly commended by the one true living God. Yes, so she indeed have faith in the one true living God. Yes, I dare believe that she was trusting that the Lord would take care of this baby. Now I would imagine that when she was lowering the baby in the basket, and lowering the basket with the baby in the basket onto the river Nile, she was looking very, very sadly at baby with tears in her eyes. She probably would be saying this to baby Moses. Dear baby, we have trusted the Lord to keep you for the last 3 months, but now you're just too big for us to keep you. Yes, we'll have to let you go, but we trust the Lord to preserve you. And then she let baby Moses go. Now on this Mother's Day, I ask you, all mothers, are you mothers of faith? Are you mothers of faith? Jochebed was. She was, and by faith, she had the faith to disobey Pharaoh's commandment. My dear friends, dear mothers, are you very, very much influenced by the thinking of the world to the extent that today you are obeying the thinking of the world by the way you bring up your children? Now, what does the world say today? The world says, with his modern psychology that you should be soft on your children. Don't be harsh on them. Now, don't cane your children. If you cane your children, psychologically, you are going to damage them. Therefore, just reason with them. Be tolerant of their wrongs. Don't punish them. And so what happens? In this country, the law has been enacted that forbids parents from applying corporal punishment to their children. Now, this kind of thinking is taken to extreme by one school of thought. Some years ago, I came across this thinking. This school of thought says that if you want to reform juvenile delinquents, don't send them to these reformation or reformative institutions. Don't send them to corrective institutions. What you should be doing is, if they do wrong, send them on a holiday. And it's true. This thinking literally said that. Send them on a holiday. Yeah? Reward them. Cause them to enjoy. And then they will repent. They will change. They will be reformed. What utter rubbish this is. But this kind of thinking actually arises from that same kind of psychology for bringing up children. Don't cane them, don't punish them, don't apply corporal punishment to them. Now, why are graffitis allowed to spoil the looks of our city here and the cities in Australia? Why? I dare say that it is because the cane is not applied. Now, in Singapore, the cane is applied. If a person is caught vandalizing, spraying graffitis, he is liable to be caned with 3 strokes of the cane. And then he is also liable to be imprisoned, I think, for 5 months or so, and possibly fined $2,000. And this caning was exactly what was applied to this young American years ago in Singapore. He was a teenager by the name of Michael Fay. Do you remember that notorious guy, Michael Fay? Yes, the Singapore government had him caned. And at that time, President Clinton, who was the president of America, tried to intervene. He actually asked the Singapore government to withhold that punishment, but the Singapore government went ahead and caned him. And of course, that created a lot of international hoo-has. But Singapore is clean. Graffiti clean. No graffitis at all. Although lately I saw one in the net. Some vandals had sprayed some graffiti on the top of a public housing building, 23rd or 24th story up, against the wall of the water tank. Yes. But if that person is caught, well, he'll be caned for sure. Now, my question to mothers this morning is this. Do you trust the world, the thinking of the world, or do you trust the word of God for bringing up your children? Which do you trust? I know that mothers, when they have children, when they have newborn babies, they are very, very excited. They go to the library, borrow many books, they buy many books on bringing up children. But many of these books contain modern psychology. Now, my question to you is, do you trust the thinking of the world, or you trust the word of God for bringing up your children? Now, the word of God says in Proverbs 13:24, I'd like us to look at this verse. Mothers, please take note, all right? It's not I who say it, all right? If I say it, you can ignore what I say. But listen to what God's word says in Proverbs 13:24. All right, let's read this verse together. All right, maybe all the ladies should read this verse. All right, men, you keep quiet. Let the ladies read. Proverbs 13:24. Ladies, go. All right, you read that. He that spareth his rod, all right, this actually refers to father, but mother, same thing. He that spareth his or her rod hateth his or her son. But he or she that hateth he loveth him, chasteneth him betimes. Yes, if you love your child, you chasten your child, or you chastise your child, your child before he does anything wrong. And then you please turn to Proverbs 22 verse 15. Proverbs 22 verse 15. Let's read this verse together. Proverbs 22 verse 15. Ready, go. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. If you want to drive that foolishness away, well, apply discipline. Apply the rod of discipline. Now, if you are a mother of faith, you will want to obey God's word and not spare the rod. You will not spare the rod because the rod that you are going to apply is not a rod of hatred. It is actually a rod of love. Reverend Timothy Toh used to call it, he calls it sugar cane, not just a cane, but sugar cane, because it is a rod of love. Yes, so when you apply the rod of love, you are actually loving your child. You spare the rod, you think you are loving your child, you are not. Yes, you are not. You are actually being very, very selfish. Yes, if you spare the rod, you actually are not caring for your child. Yes, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child, you destroy the child. Now, if you are a mother of faith, you will trust the Lord to take care of your child, just as Jochebed trusted the Lord to take care of baby Moses and was willing to let baby Moses go. Now, of course, I'm not advocating a lack of care for your child till you become negligent. I look at many mothers here in Australia, I'm afraid to say that many are quite negligent. Yes, to the extent that sometimes you see notices and you see advertisements that remind mothers to hold on to the hand of the child when they're crossing the street. Yes, there's a need for that also. Why? Because very often I see children running ahead of parents along the road. Children running ahead of their parents. So these notices are given to remind mothers not to be negligent, but to hold on to the hand of the child when they are crossing the street. Now, by saying that you trust the Lord to take care of your child, I don't mean to say that you should abdicate your care for your children. No, by no means, friends. All mothers must exert whatever care they can have for their children. You must try your very, very best to take care of your children. But if you are a mother of faith, you will trust the Lord to take care of your children and not worry yourself sick after you have done all your very, very best for your children. Now, I remember this mother of faith. My friend, who was my former Sunday school mate, while a teenager, met with a very, very serious traffic accident. And he went into a coma over an extended period of time. He was in a coma for something like 3 weeks, and people were very, very worried in those days in regards to whether or not he would be coming out of his coma. Now, what did mother do? Did mother go to the hospital to visit the son? I'll shock you if I tell you that she didn't. All right, she didn't go to the hospital to visit the son. Not that she didn't love the son, not that she didn't care for the son. She loved the son and she cared for the son. She said, she was a woman of faith, and she said, I cannot do anything for my son by the hospital bed. But what I can do for my son is to pray for my son. And that was exactly what she did. She stayed at home and she prayed for the son, and she prayed for the son, and she prayed for the son. She prayed diligently and she prayed in faith that the Lord's will be done on her son. And the Lord very, very graciously answered her prayer, and the son recovered completely and became a successful architect. Now, how else did she trust the Lord to take care of her children? She had another son who was notoriously wayward. He was surely going to grow up to become a great crook. But mother had faith in the one true living God. Mother prayed diligently for him. And then one day, mother met with a fatal traffic accident. She passed away and was taken home to be with the Lord. This young man was so shocked by mother's passing away that he repented, and he straight away enrolled himself into a Bible college. And today, she is serving as a minister of the gospel. So, my dear friends, she was indeed a mother of faith. Now, if you are a mother of faith, you will trust the Lord to take care of your children, and you will surely pray diligently like this mother did for her children. This great saint, Saint Augustine, was a very, very wayward young man. He was a philanderer, and it was said that when he was a teenager, he fathered a child. Yes, but mother didn't give up on her. Her mother, Monica by name, prayed diligently for him. And then one day, her friend said these very famous words to her. She said to Monica, "A son of so many prayers cannot perish or will not perish." And true enough, the Lord answered the prayers of Monica. Augustine repented and became one of the greatest saints in church history. So mothers, I ask you, are you a mother of faith? Do you apply godly discipline to your children as taught in the Word of God? I mean godly discipline. Do you apply it on your children? Do you trust the Lord to take care of your children after you have done all you can for your children and not worry yourself sick, but say, "Lord, I place them in your care. You take care of them." My dear friends, are you a mother of faith who is willing to let the Lord take care of your children? And do you pray diligently for them? I trust you are. My dear friends, I trust you do. Now next, I'd like us to see that Monica was a mother faithful to God. Now, after Moses was placed in that basket, his sister, Miriam, followed to see what would happen to this basket. We read verse 4 in Exodus chapter 2. Exodus 2, verse 4. "And his sister," meaning Miriam, "stood afar off to wait to see what would be done to him." Verse 5. "And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And the maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flax, among the bulrushes, among the reeds, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister," meaning Miriam, "to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman," meaning Jochebed, "took the child and nursed it." It was surely no accident that Pharaoh's daughter came down to wash herself at that time at the river Nile. God had arranged it that way. It was providential. God had arranged it that way for her to come down at that time, just at the very time when the basket was floating around by the riverbank. And it was God's arrangement that she should fall in love with this baby. The cover was opened up and she saw the baby, and the baby cried. The moment she saw the baby cry, she fell in love with that baby and wanted the baby to be nursed as her own. And so, friends, surely it was God's arrangement that baby Moses should also be raised by his own mother, Jochebed, with pay from the princess. All arranged by the great and wonderful God. Now see how God raised up a great spiritual leader. Whom did he look for? He looked for a pair of godly parents who would provide the upbringing to bring up the child the way the one true living God wanted the child to be brought up. So he looked for a mother who had faith and a mother who was faithful to him. He would not be looking for a mother who had no interest in spiritual things. He would not be looking for a mother who only was interested in socializing, only interested in the things of the world, only interested in providing for the physical needs of the child. But he looked for one who was interested in the spiritual well-being of the child. He looked for one who would bring up the child in the fear, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so he chose Jochebed. Now, why did God choose Abraham to become the father of many nations? Why did God choose Abraham to be the man in whom all the nations of the earth be blessed? Why did he choose him to be the ancestor, the earthly ancestor of the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Why? Was it because Abraham was good? No, my dear friends. He chose Abraham simply out of grace. That's it. He chose Abraham simply out of grace. But the Word of God also says another thing. If you look at Genesis chapter 18, verses 17 to 19 concerning Abraham. Well, keep your finger at Exodus 2, Genesis 18, 17 to 19. Yes, this was what God said concerning Abraham. Verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" God was about to destroy the wicked twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and three other wicked cities. He was about to destroy them. Yes, and he said, "Should I reveal this to Abraham?" And he said, "I should." Yes, look at verse 18. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." 19. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they should keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring up upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. For I know him." God said, "I know him." I know him in an intimate way. Now the word "know" also means to choose. Yes, God chose Abraham. He chose Abraham. He knew Abraham intimately. Well, why did God choose Abraham? Of course he chose him out of grace. Yes, he chose him out of grace and caused him to be one that was faithful to him, caused him to be one who would command his children and his household after him, that they should keep the way of the Lord. God chose Abraham. Yes, in the same way as he chose Abraham, he chose Jochebed. By his grace, he chose Jochebed to be the mother he wanted her to be. Now, what kind of a mother are you? If you're a mother, what kind of a mother are you? Recognize this truth. The Lord, by his grace, has chosen you to be a mother. Did you realize that if you're a mother, the Lord has chosen, by his grace, has chosen you to be a mother for a very special purpose? Who knows? Who knows? Perhaps the Lord has chosen you to raise up a Moses for him. Who knows? And if it's not a Moses that you are chosen to raise up, for sure, my dear friends, he has chosen you to raise up spiritual children, godly children, who would fear him and who would love him. Now the question for all mothers is this: how well are you doing your job to raise up children for the one true living God? How well are you doing? Did you recognize that that is your role? Did you recognize? Now let us see how well Jochebed did the job. I'd like us to look at Hebrews chapter 11 again, please. Hebrews chapter 11, but keep your finger at Exodus 2. Hebrews 11, let's see how well Jochebed did the job in raising up Moses. Hebrews 11, verse 23. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Now let's look at verse 24. "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Verse 23. Now verse 23 talks about the faith of Moses' parents. By faith they kept Moses. Now look at verse 24. Now starting from verse 24, you'll find that the writer of Hebrews actually talks about the faith of Moses. Verse 24 says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." By faith, Moses had faith. Now the question is, where did Moses get his faith from? From where? Of course, from his parents. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whose words would Moses be hearing most of the time, being nursed by Jochebed? Of course, she'll be hearing the words of Jochebed, his mother. So he must have learned faith from his parents, particularly from Jochebed. Yes, Jochebed surely must have taught him faith. So mothers, don't miss this golden opportunity to teach your children faith in the one true living God. When they are young, malleable, receptive to what you say, don't miss this opportunity. And all those young ladies here who would be mothers someday, you're going to teach your children faith. Yes, teach them when they are very, very receptive to what you are going to say to them. Dr. To, our senior pastor, remembers very fondly the many hymns and the many spiritual things his mother taught him. Yes, and he always mentions them in a very, very fond way. Now, I learned many things from my mother, some of which were nursery rhymes and many of them were bedtime stories. And for many years, I remember what mother told me. Yes. They were, of course, told to me in my dialect, in the Teochew dialect. And when she told us those things, I was all ears to her, including my younger siblings. When mother told us those things, we would listen very, very intently, all ears. And she would repeat those things. Not that she loved to repeat them, but we always pestered her. Mother, please tell us that again. Please tell us that story again. Mother, please tell us that story again. And she was always very accommodating, and she would tell those stories and those things again. Yes, but mother was not a believer. How I wish she was, although she became a believer in her later years. But how I wish she was a believer when I was a little child. Because I would have learned lots and lots of spiritual things from her. For sure, she would have told me many spiritual things, taught me many spiritual lessons from the Word of Life. You mothers, as I said earlier, this is the time to teach your little ones. Teach them faith. Yes, they are all ears to you. And I ask you, do you read them God's Word? Do you? Do you read them God's Word? Do you teach them precious lessons out of the Word of God? Do you teach them to memorize God's Word? You say it's difficult for them to learn long verses. I tell you, you are quite wrong. All right, you just try it. They have got very, 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 very good memory. Teach them the Word of God. Now, when Jochebed heard these words from the Egyptian princess, remember what the Egyptian princess said to her? Verse 9 of Exodus 2. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman, meaning Jochebed, took the child and nursed it. Now, my dear friends, I will not be surprised at all when Jochebed heard those words from the princess's lips. She would have interpreted it as words from the one true living God himself. It was as if the princess was his mouthpiece. Yes, it was as if God was saying to her, you take this child away and nurse this child for me. For whom? For Jochebed? No. For the princess? No. For me, the one true living God. You see, Jochebed saw the child as a trust given to her by the one true living God. She recognized that the child was not hers. It was not her property. It was not the princess' property. It was the Lord's property. And she was to nurse the child and to bring up the child spiritually as a servant to the one true living God. She saw herself as a servant of the one true living God, whose duty was to bring up this child in the most holy faith. Yes, mothers, see yourself as Jochebed saw herself, a servant who is to be faithful to bring up the child, your children, for him. understand this truth. Now, if you understand this truth, then you will do it the right way. If you understand that the children are given to you as a trust from the one true living God. In other words, you don't possess the children. You don't own the children. Your children belong to the one true living God. And you are merely stewards to look after your children for the one true living God. Then you get it right. Yes? And as stewards, the word of God says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, let me read it another way. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a mother be faithful as a faithful mother. Yes, if you're a mother, be the mother that the Lord wants you to be. Be a faithful mother. Be a mother of faith. Be a faithful mother. Lastly, what are the rewards of a mother? Look at Jochebed. She was given the reward to love Moses. She saw loving Moses as a reward. She almost didn't have the privilege to look after Moses, to love Moses. In fact, it was almost all gone because she put the baby in the basket. And the basket was floating on the river now. It was as good as saying goodbye to the baby. But the Lord very, very graciously gave her the opportunity, the privilege to love her son. Yes, and the princess was paying her to look after her own son. Now, do you think that without the pay given by the princess, that Jochebed would love her son any less? I don't think so. Yes, she would still love the son because she would have seen it as a great privilege to be able to love her son, to be given the opportunity to love her son. Surely, for you mothers, loving your son must be a great privilege. You must see it as a great privilege. So if you saw it as a great privilege, then no task will be too great for you. No impediment will be too great for you. No obstacle will be too great for you. Why? Because you see loving your son as a great privilege given to you by the one true living God. There was this case. I could have told you this story before, but I actually saw it on TV years ago. There was the case of this mother who was beaten by her teenage daughter, a 14-year-old girl. The girl was very fierce. She broke several of her mother's ribs. And then she was going to be committed to a corrective institution. But mother was very, very insistent that she not be put in a corrective institution. She wanted to have her back. Yes, at the risk of her life, she said, I want to have my daughter back. You know why? Because she wanted to have the great privilege of loving her daughter. That's why that she wanted to have her back. Now listen to this poem. Let me read it for you. This young man writes, if I were hanged on the highest hill, mother of mine, mother of mine, I know whose love would follow me still, mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were drowned in the deeper sea, mother of mine, oh mother of mine, I know whose tears would come down to me, oh mother of mine, oh mother of mine. If I were damned of body and soul, I know whose prayers would make me whole, oh mother of mine, oh mother of mine. Yes, this young man recognized the love of mother. Now, how could mother love this young man the way this young man said mother would love her? She could only love him that way if she saw loving her as a great privilege of love. Great privilege, yes, in loving him. Yes, if you see loving your child as a great privilege, then nothing is too difficult for you to do for your child. Now, then the second reward given to a mother is that of self-sacrifice. To her, it is a joy of giving when she sacrifices for the child she loves. Now, surely we have heard of poor widows working night and day on the most menial tasks to provide for the education of their children. And do they complain? Maybe they do, but very little. Do they begrudge the kind of sacrifices that they are making for their children? No, my dear friends, invariably you hear them say, it is worth the sacrifice. Yes, that must have been the case with Jochebed. worth the sacrifice. She knew that one day this baby that she's raising up, this son that she was raising up, would have to be returned to the princess. And yet, she was willing to go to that sacrifice to bring up the son. Yes, because she saw self-sacrifice for her son as a great reward from the Lord. Now, thirdly, the reward to a mother is the making of a great life. What great life did Jochebed make? Jochebed made the great life of Moses. Yes, that was her reward. She made the great life of Moses. Now, what was the great reward of grandmother Lois and mother Eunice? Remember these two women in the New Testament, Lois and Eunice. What was their reward? Their reward was, of course, this minister by the name of Timothy. Of course, Timothy. They have raised up Timothy to become a great servant of the Lord. And so Paul had this commendation for these two ladies. And he said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So, they were responsible for the making of a Timothy. Now, what was the reward of Monica? The reward of Monica was, of course, the making of this great Saint Augustine. Now, mothers, the child you bring up might not be the most intelligent child, might not be the most gifted child. Your child could be very ordinary, very average. But listen, if he loves the Lord and becomes a great witness for him, would not the life of your child be a great life? Yes, my dear friends, your child could be average in intelligence, but if he becomes a great witness for the Lord, and if he's very useful for the Lord, you have indeed made a great life out of him. So friends, mothers in particular, are you a mother of faith? If you are not, be one. Act as Jochebed did. She was not afraid of Pharaoh's commandments, which required that she surrendered her baby Moses to be thrown into the river Nile. But my dear friends, by faith, she kept baby Moses for 3 months. Likewise, mothers, act by faith. Listen to the word of God in bringing up your children. Obey the word of God in bringing up your children, rather than listening to the psychology of the world, rather than to obey the psychology of the world. My dear friends, listen to the word of God. Obey God's word in bringing up your children, which means be courageous enough to apply discipline to your children. Don't spare the rod. Trust in the Lord in preserving your children. Commit them to the care of the Lord, as Jochebed committed baby Moses to his care. Be a mother of faith. Pray diligently for your child. Yes, pray earnestly for your child. Or you have more than one child, you have many children, pray for them. Be a mother faithful to God, as Jochebed faithfully taught Moses the word of God. Mothers, faithfully teach your children the word of God. When they are still young, when they are still malleable, when they are still very receptive to your teachings, teach them the word of God. Teach them faith, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then recognize the reward the Lord has given you as a mother. If you're a mother, the Lord has given you great rewards. First of all, you have the reward of loving your children. It's a reward from the Lord. This privilege is a reward from the one true living God. And if you have the reward of sacrificing for your children, if you are sacrificing for your children, treasure that self-sacrifice, because that self-sacrifice is a reward from the Lord. Yes, and then if you are very, very diligent in bringing up your children in the ways of the Lord, you will be given this great reward someday. You will be making a great life for the one true living God. Now, if you are a mother and you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ yet, you cannot be the mother that God wants you to be. So if you are a mother And if you desire to be the kind of mother that the Lord wants you to be, why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior this morning? Yes, invite Him into your heart. Receive Him into your heart. Repent from your sins. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And if you are a mother, He will enable you to be the mother that He wants you to be. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies. Thank You for Your kindness. Thank You for Your goodness. O Lord, we thank You for teachings out of Your Word of Life. We know they are true. They are most applicable and they are most practical. Lord, we pray that You will help us to have the faith to trust in You, to believe that You will enable us to be the persons You want us to be, to play the roles that You want us to play. And particularly for mothers this morning, we pray that You will be with them, help them to obey Your truth so that they may be able to be the mothers that You want them to be. Grant them joy in You, grant them the faithfulness to serve You well as mothers. And Lord, we pray that You will reward them accordingly, based on Your promise to them. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.